Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of A Change in Attitude, the podcast that takes a look at the Attitude Era of Raw through 2021 eyes. I am Mags, and with me today, my good friend, Tanner, the Texas Gentleman. How are you?
Howdy, howdy, everybody. I'm doing well. How are you doing today, Mags?
Yeah, nah, not doing too bad at all. And not with us, because she has lived up to the gimmick that we have bestowed upon her. She is now the draw, and she's big shot at us. She doesn't turn up. She's done a Jake the Snake Roberts and just not shown up to a match.
And wow.
So we have no aura. In reality, though, she's been stuck with the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. I want to say it was Hurricane Ida, and she's been struggling for power. So by the time you hear this, she will probably be back and firing on all cylinders. But we hope that her and all her family and loved ones a speedy recovery from all this stuff, and we can't wait to get her back on the show very, very soon.
Indeed. You know, I've talked to Ori off and on throughout the week as you know, obviously Ida has come and gone. And, you know, obviously, as you put it, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with Ori and her family and all those who were affected by Hurricane Ida. So if anybody's out there and you've experienced, any kind of hardship because of the hurricane, don't hesitate to reach out. We want to, you know that you're okay. So
yeah, absolutely. So let's get into this episode of Raw. Then we're on the Raw after the amazing pay per view that was In Your House Man Games, and this is from the 23rd of September 1996. We are in Hershey, Pennsylvania, at the Hershey Park Arena.
Yeah, yeah. Home of Hershey's chocolate, I think. I think that makes sense.
I would assume so. Not being American, I can't confirm or deny that. But we open with stills from the pay-per-view where we saw Razor Ramon, wink, and Diesel, wink, wink, attacking Savio Vega. Still those kind of blurry, scrambled images. Is this the real Kevin Nash and Scott Hall? Let's find out. So we start the show with Kevin Kelly, Jim Ross, and Jerry Lawler on commentary. We go straight into which you would have assumed would have been the main event, the Intercontinental Title Tournament Final. Mark Miro with Sable taking on Farouk with Sonny, kind of like the battle of the managers almost.
Yeah, it was an interesting matchup here, and how we got here. I feel like, I don't know, man, what's the right way of saying it? Like I knew to expect Farouk. I did not really expect Mark Mero to make it this far, but he did. I guess him being the high flyer, that's something that was new and cutting edge for WWE at that time. So, maybe they just wanted to have a good guy sticking around to, maybe challenge Farouk for this title.
Absolutely. And I like the way that they've replaced the leather on the title, put that white strap. I kind of always really been a big fan of that white strap. The gold one was fine for Gold Dust. I don't think it suited Armour Johnson too much. And the fact that they've gone back to white, I think that's a cool touch. But this was actually a really good match for a TV show, for a Raw, where we've not had the best of wrestling. I thought that this was actually really interesting. We got some cool moves from Mark Miro. We've got the power from Farouk, a real kind of a blend of styles. We had Sonny getting involved and getting ejected from the ringside by special guest referee, first ever Intercontinental Champion Pat Patterson. We were joined on commentary as well by Mr. Perfect, who was he was saying he gave advice and tidbits of information to Mark Miro, kind of almost telegraphing the result. But the match itself, I thought, was really, really interesting. We get a phone in from Ahmed Johnson, former champion.
I'm glad that you brought this up.
he says that he's essentially going to get his own back on Farouk. And then we get the King chipping in, saying, "I heard you needed a kidney transplant, Ahmed," from Jake Roberts, and Ahmed goes off. He threatens to essentially end Jerry Lawler, which, I mean, that's how, if it only could have happened.
Like, that's about as close to an actual death threat that we get, like, this far into WWE 1996. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to end you.
But he does confirm that he's close coming back, so we'll be seeing him in the ring, I assume, pretty soon. But getting back to the match, we see Sonny come back, bringing a suspicious little almost brick-shaped handbag with her.
Yeah, it looked very heavy.
And very, very rectangular as well. Mm. Her and Sable get into it while the referee is distracted. Farouk picks up the handbag. You expect the schmoz finish where Farouk lands the brick shot. But Mark Miro telegraphs. He ends up being the one that hits Farouk with the purse. And he sets up Farouk for the wild thing, the backflip almost, and then we get a new champion, someone who if I were watching live, I definitely did not expect Mark Miro to be the guy who wins. You'd think that this was a storyline tacked on for Farouk to win, but yeah, Mark Miro gets the win. About 10 minutes of a match, really, really fun, lively, exciting match to start an episode of Raw.
Yeah, and I think you and I are on the same page here as far as the result is concerned. I think it was always, oh, well, Farouk's got to win this because that sets up him and Ahmed Johnson again down the road. But it's like, oh, well, Mark Miro. Let's bring in Mark Miro and let's have him win the title. Okay, well, now what do you do with Farouk? And now you got to find somebody for Mark Miro. I mean, maybe you could have them do another series of matches, I guess.
I mean, looking back on it in with hindsight, the Farouk and Ahmed Johnson storyline is already set. I don't think it particularly needs a title. It's very much a kind of a almost a blood feud, I suppose. So I can see now in why you would think, oh, well, we'll put the title on Mark. That gives him a little bit of rub. Mm-hmm. It can lead to further storylines down the line for him. And we're still going to get the Ahmed and Farouk stuff just without the title involved. Mm-hmm. So it sets up more threads, I suppose. But going back to watching this as it happened, it was very jarring to see this essentially jobber in Mark Miro becoming now the workhorse champion.
Mm. He went on to he thanked God. He thanked his wife Sable for being there by his side, and he thanked Mr. Perfect. For training and advice.
There's one person he didn't thank.
He didn't thank JR, who as the interviewer, he seemed to have taken umbrage with it, which is
what about
odd.
Me? What about me, Mark? You fucking liar. Yes.
really strange. Like, why do you want credit? Like, what part of Mark Merrow's career did you like fit into?
exactly. So after that match and that amazing interview, which you definitely should go back and watch, Jim Ross, for how terrible of a storyline he's been put in, he was amazing in this episode.
I'm gonna steal a line from you. He was the saltiest bitch the whole episode.
Oh, he was an angry little cat.
And I can't wait till we cover the peak at the end of the show of JR's saltiness.
So after that match, we get a cut backstage and we see a dressing room with number plate style names on, Eraser and Diesel. So maybe Jim Ross wasn't a fucking liar. Maybe he has brought the bad guy and Big Daddy Cole back to the WWF.
Mm. You know, I'm always willing to be proven wrong, but
he's a liar.
I have a feeling.
Well, we'll see if that feeling comes to premonition pretty soon. But we go backstage again to Doc Hendricks, who for some weird reason Kevin Kelly calls Doc Henderson. I don't know quite why he got a name change. Maybe Vince is kind of changing gimmicks mid-show. But he goes into the babyface locker room and all the babyfaces are there cheering for Mark Merrow on his title win. You've got the big names like Spark Plug, Bob Holly's in there. Barry Horowitz is in there as well. One of the Godwins, Henry, maybe, or the other one, Phineas. One of them is there.
Or maybe the other one.
You know these hillbillies, they all look alike.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason for that, but this is a family show, and we don't have to talk about those kind of things.
But basically, all the jobber faces are all cheering for the new king of the jobbers.
One of us.
A rising tide helps all ships, I suppose.
Exactly. There you go.
And then we get another kind of video segment, which is going to reveal the truth about Double J, Jeff Jarrett. And it focused on something that happened 18 months previously when he lost the title to Shawn Michaels in March of 1995. We are now in September of 1996. Yeah, they're going to reveal how Double J Jeff Jarrett is a fucking liar.
He's a fraud. He's a fraud, Mags. He's going to get exposed by the WWF, who are his employers, oddly enough. Yeah, like this whole episode's like gotcha news, like gotcha journalism. Like, it's like, we've got this expose on Jeff Jarrett being a fraud.
Jeff Jarrett, who hasn't been around for months, we are going to expose him right now. Then we get another match, the newly crowned tag team champions, Owen Hart and David Boy Smith, with their new manager / lawyer, Clarence Mason, and they're taking on the Body Donners. And the whole kind of the background of this match wasn't particularly what was happening even in the ring. It was the fact that Clarence Mason took control of the contract of Owen Hart and David Boy Smith whilst Jim Cornette was injured, whilst he had other things on his mind.
I mean, that's what we're led to believe. None of us were in the room, and none of us read the paperwork. So this could all just be a sham at, you know, being made up by the commentary team. You know, we don't know what's on that, you know, paperwork, Clarence. So we're going to assume that you're a dick.
So we actually get a picture-in-picture with Jim Cornette, who's threatening to disembowel, disbar, disintegrate, every diss word that you can think of. He's threatening to do that to Clarence Mason because he's hornswoggled him out of the contracts.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Like, they're both heels, right? Like, who are we supposed to be led to like believe is being wronged here? I mean, like, I'd like to see, you know, what maybe Clarence Mason can do with Owen Hart and the British Bulldog. I mean, Jim Cornette clearly didn't get them the titles.
Well, yeah, exactly. And all while this is going on, we get a basic tag team match. Nothing really stands out. The champions pick up the victory. I think it's Skip who ends up tapping out. Interesting that Owen used the sharpshooter, the move of his brother, who still isn't back with the company yet. But yeah, we get a bit of a moment where we're harping next week's main event with Shawn Michaels and Jose Lothario, continuing this amazing story with Vader and James E. Cornette that we've all really been on tenterhooks about. We can't wait to see the culmination of Jose and Jim. But yeah, the tag champions beat the Body Donners, and the crowd goes mild.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I thought as well. Like, this was like as filler of a filler match as we could get. It wasn't like terrible, but like, you know, it just existed in the middle of this show.
Yeah, to essentially move the two storylines of Jim Cornette versus Clarence Mason and Jim Cornette versus Jose Lothario on.
Yeah. Yeah, and what's interesting is, like, I feel like the Body Donners against Owen Hart and Davey Boy Smith, like, that could actually be, like, with enough time, like, that could actually be a really, really good match, but they were only given, what, just shy of 5 minutes, so I don't know, I would like to see this to its fullest potential if possible, because, you know, we've seen the Body Donners have some pretty decent matches, and of course, does Owen Hart have a bad match in him ever? No. Davey Boy Smith, he can pull out some really great matches himself,
especially when he's tagging with Owen Hart. I think he does some of his better work with Owen Hart.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I would love to see a longer version of this match if we can get that sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we go to a little bit more of a recap from the previous night's pay-per-view. We see stills from Undertaker. We see stills from Shawn Michaels and Mankind and Undertaker getting involved, and Sid Vicious and Vader getting involved. And then we cut to Undertaker doing a promo in a graveyard. Wandering around.
Very dark graveyard, like, you know, you can hardly see what's going on. Like, if you didn't, like, if you tried to adjust your TV, like, you would get into, like, no luck. You'd be like, oh, there's, what's going on with my TV? Like, it's all blacked out, you know, like, hitting the antennas, you know. But, like, no, this was just Undertaker in a very, very dark graveyard.
With a spade, which is going to use to dig a grave for Mankind, and he will never rest in peace. And we get the typical kind of tropes from Undertaker with he can't get rid of the scars of what the betrayal of Mankind and Paul Bearer has done to him and things like that. Interesting, cool little outside broadcaster. Spot there, but
did you notice he had like these weird like sevens on on his face?
I think that to kind of like accentuate his facial muscles, but I don't get why. Maybe it's kind of showing like the rotting of flesh almost. I don't know. It was just weird.
Yeah, I mean I can definitely see where you're coming from, and I know that that's like. That's why, like, that's what they're trying to go for, but it's just like that was like the laziest way that you could possibly Hey, let's just make it look like you're really smug about something right now,
and not even an attempt to blend it. It's just literally stark red number seven.
It's all like somebody just whipped out some lipstick and was just like, here's some things. Make it look like you're just angry or miffed about something.
Absolutely. And straight from this, we go back to Doc Hendricks. This has been a pretty breakneck pace. They've packed a lot into this 48-minute show. Uh-huh. But he's outside the locker room of Razor and Diesel. Knocks on the door, tries to get an interview, and we see the back of Razor and Diesel, and they slam the door shut without even looking towards the camera. And Doc is perturbed, like, maybe I picked a bad time. And Jim Ross goes, "Doc, you fucking son of a bitch, trying to steal my goddamn interview. I'll be speaking to them bastards later on in the show."
So after weeks of us getting this JR angle, I finally figured it out. I feel like JR is supposed to be WWE mocking or going after like the Dave Meltzer and Wade Keller types of out there, you know, the dirt sheet journalists, if you will, you know, who report on the wrestling. You know, I feel like that's exactly what they're trying to go for here with JR. It's like, "Oh, well, I've got this scoop and nobody else has got it." And then Gorilla Monsoon's like dismissing it, and Vince is dismissing it, and everybody else is dismissing it. It's like, "Oh, this is not true." You know, but, you know, JR seems to believe that there's something.
He's the ringside news of this Raw episode.
Yes.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Go to powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT. Get your free month. Again, that's powerslam.tv, promo code CHAIRSHOT.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So after this, we get the Stalker back for another match. Barry Windham wearing...
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've seen the Stalker.
Yeah, wearing different coloured denim to what... I mean, he was wearing camo clothing, and then his camo on his face was a totally different colour, so made it stand out more than maybe the camo was meant to. And then he had this blonde moustache as well, which really kind of like stood out with all this black camo all over his face. This is an awful gimmick. It's so, so bad.
Look, if Hunter Hearst Helmsley was walking out in the woods looking for the Stalker, he just like turned and looked at one point, "Wait, what's that over there?" He could easily spot the Stalker because the camo is just way too off.
Yeah, I mean, he's either going to spot the black camo from the head, or he's going to spot the grey camo from the body. So unless there's a very specific area where that stalker can hide, like maybe a 5-foot grey wall, and then a gnat behind him.
Yeah, or like lay down next to some leaves that's also beside some rocks.
Exactly. But this match, again, kind of like the match before, is not really to further a storyline with the people in it. It's more to further the storylines with Stone Cold Steve Austin, who's on commentary, and to further the storyline between Hunter and Mr. Perfect. So essentially we have Stone Cold coming out. He's trying to go to fight with Kevin Kelly, picking on the youngest, smallest one of the commentary team, which is kind of weird. And then he also badmouths Bret Hart, saying that he wants to use a word that rhymes with the word that he's actually thinking. So he spits on the life, the career, and the family of Bret Hart. So
yeah.
what word can rhyme with spits? Who knows?
Mm. He also suggested that had Bret Hart's parents used safe sex, that we wouldn't have to be worried about Bret Hart.
He wouldn't have this problem. Yeah,
he wouldn't have this problem.
And we also get the joy of Jerry Lawler showing us that he's on the cover of a comedy magazine. His artwork.
Yeah,
kind of makes a really kind of tenuous link that Bret Hart once said he was the greatest artist in the world, just so he could strong arm the fact he was on the front cover of a comedy magazine.
I'm a real artist. I'm the one who can draw here.
And Bret Hart is a fucking liar.
He's a liar. We also get one more Jim from Stone Cold Steve Austin asking, why is Barry Windham covering his face with paint? We all know it's him.
that was absolutely brilliant. But this is a nothing match again, unfortunately. We get coming towards the end, we get Mr. Perfect coming back out. He takes Hunter Helmsley's valet and walks off, but this time he's caught by Hunter. Hunter, instead of going out of the ring to confront Mr. Perfect, climbs to the top rope to shout, and he's then hit with a superplex, and the Stalker picks up the win. The Stalker picks up the win against Triple H. Sad times.
Watching Triple H lose all these matches, and I know obviously it's a lot to do with something that we've talked about here on the show, the curtain call, right? Or is to her immense credit, has pointed this out on a number of occasions. But like, you have to feel like, you know, the golden shovel era of Triple H is a response to matches like this, where he's like, you know, I remember that time I lost to Barry Windham, so I'm not putting Goldberg over at the Elimination Chamber. Or I would rather die than put Booker T over at WrestleMania 19, because remember that time where you kept having Mr. Perfect come out and ruin my matches.
You can almost guarantee in when the wrestlers are talking to each other through the matches, he's saying, you're the Barry Windham. You're Barry Windham in this town. You're going down, motherfucker. It's time for your superplex.
He gives him the spine buster. Take this one, Barry. Just slam.
I'm the fucking Stalker.
Hunter, my name's not Barry. What's going on?
Oh, wow. Let's have now a palate cleanser before we get to the best part of this show by a long, long way. So we get a promo from Mankind and Paul Bearer, which I think is in the same graveyard that we saw Taker in earlier. They seem very similar gravestones. Much better lighting, though, for some reason. Yeah. They could afford an outside broadcast crew. But, yeah, basically we see Paul Bearer and Mankind say, we're going to get payback from Taker, who cost Mankind the title. He's took something away from Mankind, so Mankind is going to take something away from the Taker, his last breath. Mm-hmm. And we see Mankind get in a grave and do his whole spiel. He's have a nice day whilst Paul Bearer holds the urn upside down. Yeah. This is a thing that happened and leading to essentially pushing the Buried Alive match that's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Bearer, in a very Jim Jones-esque way, is like, there it is. That's the grave that he's going to put you in, Mankind. And like just like psychs out Mankind into, you know, going to one of his phases, his moods. This should be interesting. Obviously, Mankind's coming off of the back of having a very good match with Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. And it is in WWE lore and WWE canon that the Mankind Undertaker Buried Alive match is highly entertaining. So there's a lot of hype riding into this one here from my end, Mags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is when we get some great matches between the two in this kind of period leading into 1997. So yeah, I'm excited for it. The first Buried Alive match. If I remember rightly, it doesn't happen in this graveyard. It actually happens in an arena, but it's still going to be fun.
It's not a boneyard match. It's
certainly not. It's certainly not a boneyard match. So for this last segment, the best segment, I actually want you, Tanner, to lead us through this, because I'm sure you could give this way better verbiage than I ever could.
So we get JR, he's in the ring, right? And he's like he's wanting to he's wanting to talk about, like, okay, well, it's time for our big announcement. We're gonna have Diesel and Razor come out, and it's gonna be this whole thing. And he starts talking about it, and then they have to do a cutaway to I think they do a cutaway to the Mankind Paul Bearer thing, or I could be mistaken. It could be a something else. And then it gets back to JR, and he's like, all right, folks, it's time for me to talk about my thing. We're going to talk about Razor and Diesel. And then you hear Kevin Kelly come in over the top, and he's like, sorry, JR, we got to go to commercial break. So twice. Twice JR gets cut off, and he's just like, he's mouthing off microphone. He's like, what?
God damn it.
What the hell's going on? I'm trying to break my story. Finally, after the commercial break, and I can't even remember what the commercial was for.
It was for the Hotline. And the Hotline says, find out why Diesel and Razor Ramon attack Savio Vega. So don't watch this bit now. Watch what should be explaining it, but phone us up for $1.49 a minute, and we'll give you the scoops.
Yeah, well, call us. We want to hear from you. So finally, the camera goes back to JR, and he's in the ring, and he goes on like this weird quasi shoot promo where he's
this was a CM Punk powerbomb way before CM Punk did a powerbomb.
Yeah, exactly. He starts off by talking about how he had this great career in Atlanta, Georgia, and everybody's like, I mean, he's talking about, like, you know, he's talking about the WCW, but then he's also bringing up about how he was doing commentary in Atlanta, Georgia for the Atlanta Falcons, I believe is what he was referring to. Maybe he got that. He was told about that from high, that he needs to talk about the Atlanta Falcons and not WCW, perhaps.
Or maybe he worked for the Atlanta Falcons.
He probably did. I wouldn't doubt that he did. But he made a very strong point to bring up, I was working in Atlanta, Georgia before I came here to WF. He goes on to complain about how he made his debut at WrestleMania 9 and that they offered him this toga.
A sheet. He called it a sheet.
Yes, he says, I'm sure these are his words. Maybe not verbatim, but he says, yeah, JR, we're going to put you in a toga and it's going to be fantastic. We're all going to be wearing togas. And he says that he receives this sheet, as you said, Mags. that he has to put on. It was great that he just got so angry. He just got so angry about
it. He was pissed, yeah. He mentions about he carried King of the Ring on commentary. He absolutely carried it, he said. But then I did no more pay-per-views in 1993. And why? Because Vince McMahon, the owner of the WWF, he didn't like competition.
Yeah, he straight up calls Vince the owner, which is like the no-no thing, right? Like, we're not supposed to say that, especially here at this time. Vince is not the owner. He's just the guy at the commentary booth. But Vince straight up calls him the owner. And, it says Vince doesn't like the competition. JR also brings up that... And this is kind of where it gets a little bit sad. He talks about his real life struggle with Bell's palsy, and that he woke up after the Super Bowl. I think it was Super Bowl 28.
Mm-hmm.
That he woke up and had Bell's palsy, which basically is a condition that it's not like a stroke, perhaps, but it's the.
You get the symptoms, the after effects.
Yeah, you your parts of your face are paralyzed.
Yeah.
He obviously reports this and expects sympathy from Vince and the WWF, but instead goes on to talk about how he was fired and due to. I don't know. He implies that it's related to his Bell's palsy. whatever the case may be, I don't know. But this is what he alleges here in his promo. He then says that Connecticut, the state of Connecticut, is a hellhole.
An overpriced hellhole at that.
Which is not too far away from the truth.
See, this he was not a fucking liar. He was shooting.
Yeah, I mean, there are granites of truth in what JR is saying, perhaps. he goes on to talk about how Vince wanted JR back, but he wanted to bring JR back at about half the pay.
After Vince was indicted. The steroids thing.
He brings up the steroids trial and like Vince McMahon being indicted, and says that he was brought back for 50 cents on the dollar is his words, which is just like the whole promo. I'm just like, what the heck, dude? Like, this is like the saltiest like promo that I've ever heard JR give, and anyway. He goes on to discredit everybody, and put himself over by saying talking about how hard he worked to bring back Razor and Diesel, and
it,
is like
it wasn't no accident, and me getting them back wasn't an accident either.
Exactly. So he like puts himself over, and like he's waiting for his crowning moment, his crowning achievement and glory in wrestling. To this point, and he says, let's go ahead and bring out the bad guy, Razor Ramon. And so Go ahead, Max.
So, I mean, I'll happily take over here. The crowd go mental.
Yeah,
it's absolutely like crazy. And then we see the raw sound where the wrestlers come out, and we see a glimpse of who's coming out. And then the camera pans out wide, so
you hear the music. You hear Razor's music.
And well, you hear it, and then the crowd are almost kind of overshadowing the music, and then there's a massive kind of what the fuck's going on? And then the camera zooms in to Razor.
It's a you can't see it, but air quotes Razor.
It looks like a Razor Ramon has eaten another Razor Ramon, and then maybe had a horrific burn, like full body burn.
the crowd reaction was to like very similar to like
what the fuck is this?
so
Jim, you was a fucking liar.
so this Razor Ramon lookalike, we'll call him.
That's a stretch. This guy who has a slight resemblance of Razor Ramon. He had Razor's clothes.
Yeah. if Razor Ramon, if Scott Hall was a piece of cheese and you simply put him in the microwave for far too long to where it bubbled over, and then you put that into a human form, that's what you got with this gentleman here. It you could tell that it was. Maybe Razor Ramon, but it wasn't Scott Hall.
And he put on the worst Scott Hall impression ever.
Hey, Chico.
And the way kind of like his mannerisms were almost like he'd had Bell's palsy with the way the left side of his face was melted down. Like, say hello to the bad guy. And we're like, we will when he turns up. Do you have any idea where he is?
He's clearly not here right now. Do you have his email address or phone number? Is he coming back anytime soon?
And that's the end of this episode of Raw, which is... Yeah.
Savio Vega hits the ring. He attacks version of Razor Ramon. No Diesel. No Diesel as of yet.
Even though we were promised that by Jim Ross. He did say that earlier, that he would be speaking with Razor and Diesel. So yet again, another fib by good old JR.
Yeah, he's just a liar.
Yeah, I mean, how did WWF feel that this was going to work? It was got that fan reaction straight away. I would have not put this broadcast out, because we know that these are taped in blocks. This was horrific. It went down like a fart in church.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess my thing here is like, what's the point that you're trying to prove here? Like, is it just the fact that you have intellectual property and that you're willing to flex that? Like, is that the point that you're trying to make? Or is it like, you know, well, like, we're going to try and destabilize the popularity of Hall and Nash by putting them, by making a deep fake version of them here in WWF.
And I think there's a lot of truth in that, because there were the rumors that WWF had put out, like, cease and desist on WCW at the time. For kind of alluding to the fact that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were from the WWF and they were here to take over and they were going to have a war. So I think maybe you're right that there is kind of a bit of a flex by WWF, but this wasn't the way to do it.
This ain't it, dog.
This sullies the name of Razor Ramon and of Rick Bogner.
Yeah, because
and
like,
Jim Ross. And fucking Jim Ross.
Jim Ross looks actually the worst out of all of this, because we've had to hear him crow about this for, what, a month? 6 weeks? Mm-hmm. Yep. A long time. About how he's got this scoop. He's got this thing that he can't tell anybody, and then he starts telling people exactly what it is. And now he just looks like like a pair of clown shoes. He looks he looks absolutely dumb for it. And WWF looked dumb for it because they clearly told you, well, we're going to give you Scott Hall, or not Scott Hall, we're going to give you Razor and Diesel, right? And there's clearly an idea in people's minds. Oh, that's these guys, right? Mm-hmm. Like these are the guys. And yeah, they just meant we're going to give you a reinvention of their character, and it's just not the same. Like you can't just
reboot.
Yeah, you can't reboot a character. That's dumb.
This is your Robert Pattinson as Batman edition of Razor. This ain't your Christian Bale. Forget that. That happened. It was a thing. You're getting Ben Affleck as Batman.
So there's a. Are you familiar with the actor Tim Allen?
Yeah, from Home Improvement. Like,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. Here in the States, he had Home Improvement, right, which is like the handyman show, and he had a bunch of sons, and it was all about like him as a father with his sons and whatnot, right? He tried to basically reboot. Oops, he tried to reboot that same kind of concept about 20 years later with a show called Last Man Standing, mm-hmm. And it's one of my wife's. Sadly, one of her favorite shows.
You should divorce your wife.
So for those who don't know what this show is, it's the exact same concept as Home Improvement. But the difference is, instead of it being Tim Allen has boys, Tim Allen instead has girls, right? Mm-hmm. And Tim Allen makes all these overt like political statements on the show, and it's really annoying and really cringeworthy. But one of the things that they do, or one of the things that they had to go through, was multiple character recastings. So like, and I would always pick on my wife and her family when they watched this. It was like, you know, this makes no sense, right? Like, we clearly know that this person. It does not look anything like the character that it was in seasons before. And like, why are we recasting these people into this same role? Why don't you just have a different role for this person and like develop a story? WWE basically did the same thing here with Diesel and Razor. They put two completely different people. Well, so far one completely different person in the role of Razor Ramon. Yeah, doesn't fucking work.
Yeah, and as bad as Rick Bogner was as a Razor Ramon, it's gonna get a whole lot worse. Just remember, Kevin Nash, Big Daddy Cool, Big Sexy, and just remember what he used to look like, because that ain't happening. That ain't happening. But that is for another episode. But we are.
And here's something too to salivate over as Mags cues us out of the show. We're gonna have to watch this person or persons wrestle at some point. So salivate on that nugget here as we close the show out this week.
And just to add to that, he actually wrestles on next week's show. Him and Savio Vega get it on. So that's going to be fun.
Oh, gross.
I mean,
live sex party, Razor Ramon and Savio Vega.
Wow. Friend of the show, Savio Vega.
Yeah,
as well.
We won't get that. I promise. I'm so sorry, Savio.
Unfortunately. but yeah, that's essentially the 23rd of September episode of Raw. In a nutshell, we'll be back next week with the 30th of September one, where we'll see Steve Austin versus Jake Roberts. We'll see that amazing match between Savio and Razor Ramon.
Razor Rick Bogner.
And then we get that main event that we were harped up with, Jim Cornette and Vader taking on Jose Lothario and Shawn Michaels. So tune in next week for that. But that's all from us here at A Changing Attitude for this week. Definitely go and follow our missing tag team partner, Aura, at Aura in the Draw.
Yes, please do. Please send her like messages and like send her some love. You know, obviously, you know, if you know anybody who's gone through a hurricane before and has had home damage or lost power, whatever, I mean, you can understand how chaotic that can be, and just how heartbreaking that can be to somebody. So send Ori and her family some love, and let her know how much she's missed here on A Change in Attitude.
Yeah, because you've had to put up with us, essentially. Because if you don't, you get us again.
Yeah, because,
and nobody wants that. You want that, like we want Rick Bogner and Glenn Jacobs as Diesel and Razor.
We are the new Diesel and Razor of A Change in Attitude.
And she's the Jim Ross back out. Jim Ross. And with that, Tanner, where can the people find Rick Bogner and Glenn Jacobs on the Twitters?
I mean, do they have Twitter? Rick Bogner and Glenn? I mean, Glenn Jacobs is, I guess, a mayor. He's in Knox County, Tennessee, if you want to look for him. Has anybody heard of Rick Bogner since then?
Yeah, I think he may have passed a couple of years ago.
Oh, well, my condolences.
For everything.
Yes. We've had a good time here on this show, though. So if you want to follow Mags and I, the Rick Bogner and Kevin Nash of this A Change in Attitude, Rick Bogner and Kevin Nash, Rick Bogner and Glenn Jacobs of this Change in Attitude. Mags, where can people find you and your content? Let's start there.
Yeah, so you can find me at Podfather Mags, where I am all over the chair shot and all over Radio Techers, Tanner and my project, where we cover wrestling, football, MMA. Here I do the midweek mainstay with Ray Cash, and you'll find episodes of A Change in Attitude on Mondays as well. Also, you'll find me on Visionaries Global Media, putting out content there. So I'm pretty much everywhere. Wherever you have heard a podcast, you'll likely have heard my voice. Tanner, yourself?
Yeah, you can find my content on Twitter at TexasGentleman_, or more commonly at Radio Techers. That's RadioTekkers. And as Max put it, we cover the gamut as far as all things sports fandom in terms of like pro wrestling, MMA, and football. We have a good time. We're building a really strong team over there right now, including Ori and Ray Cash, who we've brought on board to do some wrestling content. And hopefully, you know, once they're all back up and running, we'll have some more content headed your way in that regard. So, yeah, lots of big, exciting things going on there. If you haven't yet done so, subscribe to Radio Techers.
Absolutely. And also to go and follow the Changing Attitude Twitter handle at ACIA Podcast. And if you want to give us your thoughts on this amazing and very intricate storyline with Diesel and Razor, you can shoot us an email at changingattitudepodcast@gmail.com. Keep tuned here at Chairshot for multiple content from multiple creators, really good quality stuff. And remember, whilst you are here, that you must always use your head. Do you want to wave this week?
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off My Rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.